Right, we're going to go ahead and get started this evening. And anyway, it's good to be here tonight and good to see everybody. And I hope you've been having a good week this week so far. And we've been having a good week. And we're going to go ahead and just dive right in on our Wednesday night routine here. Miss Mary Kelly, she is at home, and she had her back procedure around 4:45, so she's already home. And I called her around 3:30, and I got her just before she was getting out the door and had prayer with her on the phone. and so she says she's in pain, I guess so, having a procedure like that, but being at home now, and home now is Grantville, and staying with a granddaughter and husband down there, or over there, or wherever that Grantville's at. Sounds like it's a place down south. I don't know. But anyway, so let's remember Mary Kelly and her recovery process. Continue to remember Miss Jackie Henderson. Does anybody know if she's at home or not? She went home Sunday. Okay. Well, did Jack have it as well? Okay. All right. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I sent her a message on Monday, and she said that she's doing better. So sent her and Jack both one. But anyway, let's remember them and, of course, Miss Pat Eccles. Has anybody spoke with her? All right, I'm calling her to... Okay. Is that why she went into the hospital? Something like that? Okay. Oh, yeah. Gracious, yeah, I heard that's terrible. I'm calling her tomorrow, so anyway, let's remember her. And Brother David Barker had reached out to me yesterday, and he has a lady on here, Priscilla Young, that has cancer, but he, I'm trying to get it all straight as to the relationship and all. I believe it's a sister-in-law, something like that. Anyway, it's not his sister-in-law. It's her sister-in-law's mother, and she's in. I believe he said that she's in hospice care, and the cancer has just spread to several places. And so it is Priscilla Young, but that's not his sister-in-law. It's his sister-in-law's mother. So I told him we'll mention that tonight. So let's remember that situation. And let's remember our children's home. And as they're continuing back to school, let's remember their health. And let's remember the Daleys, the Teagues, Trell Norton, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey, the Tidwells. Found out that Ben's grandmother did pass away last Thursday, I believe it was. So let's remember his grandfather in our prayers. Linda and Dolores Palmer, and David and Glenda Henderson, Claude and Billy, both remember them. And Brother Harold and his... the hand surgery he needs, possible back and neck surgery. So let's remember that. Charlie Wilson, Melissa Slagle, Don and Carla Rich, all the Riches. Miss Joanne reached out to me today and requested special prayer for Eddie, for his back, and along with bone spurs. Said he's having a tough time today. And so I told her we'll mention him tonight and pray for him. Miss Claudia Darby and Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Randy and Diane Ely. And of course, it's her brother that's battling cancer. Gerald and Francis Carroll. And all of our shut-ins. So, does anyone have a prayer request or an update or a praise tonight? Yeah, you just told me that. Jim Carmichael. Well, let's remember, Jim, they're still members. Are they members here or members of Cochran Ridge? Cochran Ridge. But they were longtime members here at Calvary. Okay. So just being clear on who that is to those who do not know the Carmichaels. And so we're praying for them. Anybody else? Well, we got them jotted down here, and we'll certainly remember. Absolutely. It's just tonight. Really? Where'd that happen at? Okay, so it was a little ways from here.
Yeah, but she works.
She works at the square.
There, yeah.
Right through there. I hate to say it, but I can kind of see that kind of thing happening on that side of town. You know, it's not good anywhere. But I was hoping it didn't happen, you know, like at Publix behind us or something like that. Police involved, yeah. Well, we'll remember Miss Sharon on her way back from work and that whole situation. Miss Glenda, did you? Wasn't Sandtown Road, was it? Certainly. Who, what that name again? Denver Edwards. Certainly pray for him. The cases are on the rise, aren't they? Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Anybody else? Tough decision. Yeah. Let's remember the sand beast. Decisions to make. Somebody else have their hand up? All right. Well, just remember this coming up. Sunday is Youth Sunday. This Youth Sunday, we're going to make it Youth Sunday all day. And so we have Brother Brian preaching in the AM and our young people carrying the music, and then Brother CJ in the PM. And we're going to have a blend of our choir is going to sing one, and then I really wanted the young people to be able to sing a couple as well. So they're going to sing a couple on Sunday night as well. And so give them some opportunity. And normally we just, originally Youth Sunday here has always been on the night service. And we felt real good about moving it in the morning and give them opportunity with a Sunday morning crowd. And so, but on the same token, wanted to be able to use CJ too. And so now Brian and CJ both, it's going to be a complete Youth Sunday. So looking forward to that. Remember that. And remember on the 29th in the PM, it will either be outside or inside, probably inside fellowship, based upon the heat. Don't need anybody having a heat stroke outside. I might be the first one to have it. So remember that. And then, of course, homecoming on the 12th of next month. And, excuse me, my voice. You can probably be expecting communion next month as well, and our baptism service next month as well. And we'll have it in the bulletin, Lord willing, this Sunday. So remember that. All right, well, this is our time to pray together. If nobody has anything else to mention, we'll take a moment to pray, and if you feel like meeting us down in the altar, come and pray with us in the altar. You can pray where you're at. Those on Facebook, you pray in your living room or wherever you're at. But this is going to be our time to pray together. John chapter number 14 tonight. John chapter number 14. And we're going to start the lesson tonight out of verse 27. John 14, verse 27. Tonight, excuse me, I'm sorry. Let's also remember those in Afghanistan and all that that's taken place. Terrible, terrible. If I get froggy tonight, y'all just try to hang in there with me. I do not know why. It seems to happen that way to me often whenever I'm speaking. John chapter number 14. Notice with me in verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I want to call your attention tonight to that first phrase where Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. And I want to talk to you tonight on this subject, the peace God gives. The peace that God gives. The world's peace is external, while the Lord's peace is internal. Just think about that for a moment. That's why he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. The world offers a type of peace, but it's always external. But the Lord's peace is internal. The peace of the world is contingent upon things happening. meaning, work has to go good. You know, bills have to be paid. You know, no one has to be mad at me. No one has to be hateful or angry. Just all of those kind of external things that tempt us from time to time of relaxing on our peace and not enjoying the peace of God. And so the peace of the world is contingent on things happening, but the peace of the Lord is based upon what has already happened, and that is the fulfillment of salvation's plan. And so tonight, Jesus is our peace, and he is the internal peace that's steadfast and that's sure. The world's peace is external and is contingent upon things happening. And so that's why he says, I'm reiterating again, that's why he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In other words, don't let your heart be troubled with the external changes of this world. But he says, because I change not. I'm the same, and I can give you that lasting peace. So the peace of God tonight. Let me just continue a couple more minutes on the peace of the world versus the peace of the Lord. The peace of the world is shaky and unstable. The peace of the Lord is firm and stable. I think about the parable of the two foundations. We've heard that many, many times. So we know that there is a life that's built upon the sand, and that's an unsure life. But then there's the life that's built upon the rock, and that's a sure life. And so therefore, if we build our house upon Jesus, then there's a lot of sureties. But if we build our house upon the sand, there's a lot of unsureties. And so tonight, the world really doesn't have lasting peace for us, does it? No, not at all. It comes, it goes. When there's good news on, we're fine. When there's bad news on, we're not fine. And this is the roller coaster of life that we stay on if we're not careful. But Jesus doesn't want us to be on that roller coaster. He wants us to be centered. He wants us to be a people who walk in peace, who are at peace with ourselves, who are at peace with others. And sometimes it's a process. And sometimes it takes practice. But tonight I'd just like to look at the peace of God. What kind of peace does God give? That's specifically what I want to look at. Since the Lord does give peace, not as the world gives, since the Lord knows how to stabilitate us with His peace, what kind of peace exactly does God give? Three different kinds of peace tonight, and I hope it'll be a help to you as it was to me while I was studying it. Number one, the first kind of peace that God gives is positional peace. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. This kind of peace has to do with our new position in Christ. And it's a positional peace. This happens when a person receives Jesus as their Savior. Ephesians chapter number 2. We're going to do a good bit of reading here, so just follow along with me. In verse number 11, Ephesians 2, verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." So he tells us so far that he wants us to remember some things. Remember where we came from. Remember what we were without Christ. Verse number 12 says that we were without Christ. We were aliens. We were alienated. Did not have any rights to what Israel had rights to. We were strangers, the Bible says, of the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So positionally, that's what we were before Jesus. Without hope, without God, no promises, totally destitute to ourselves positionally. But in verse number 13, he says, "But now, in Christ Jesus," having to do with position, "ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh." I want to stop there in verse 17. Back up in verse number 14, he mentions a word, partition. And in the latter part of that verse, that word partition literally means fence. It means a dividing factor. So before we met Jesus, before you got saved, before I got saved, we were literally on the other side of the fence. And if I could say it this way, Jesus was on the opposite side of the fence from which we were on. And so there was this partition. And so our position then was we were on the other side of the fence. Nothing on his side of the fence belonged to us. We were separated, all right? We were on one side, he was on the other. We were without hope on our side of the fence. We were without God on our side of the fence. And positionally, that's the way it was. But because, the Bible says, because of the blood, we were made nigh to God. Notice again verse 14. For he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And so that middle fence was broken down. Of course, through salvation's plan and him fulfilling that plan and opened up this new and living way, whoever calls upon his name for salvation can come across the aisle and be unified with Jesus. And that's what happened to us when we got saved. That middle wall of partition had been removed by his death on the cross, burial, resurrection. But when we accepted him, our position changed. We went from one place to the other place. We unified. We were unified with him. We joined to him. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And so there was no more two individuals, but now one. We were over here, and he was over there, but now we became one with him. And because of that, positionally, there's peace. And we know there's peace on the inside, but to God, God the Father, there is now peace because of God the Son. He says in verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God. There it is. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And so we know positionally tonight there's peace. And there's peace with God. And there are multitudes upon multitudes of people tonight that could care less about where they stand with God. They thumb their nose at God. They use his name in vain. All of these things. We could go on and on and on. But nonetheless, they could just care less. They could care less about God. But for those that are saved, for us that have been born again, we have a new position. And it is no more two individuals, but it is one. We are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, because of the new birth. And we are in good standings with God the Father because of God the Son. So what kind of peace does God give? He gives positional peace. He allows a person to experience the new birth, and positionally they are at peace with God. There is no more condemnation upon those that are saved. There's a second kind of peace I want to mention tonight. Not only positional peace is the kind of peace God gives, but he gives mental peace as well. And I praise the Lord for that. He gives mental peace. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 26. Some of you know where I'm going. Isaiah 26 and verse number 3. Now, we have a world that tries to solve this problem of mental peace. And a lot of people are addicted to drugs, to alcohol. We are not belittling or downplaying anybody that is on antidepressants or anything like that. That's between you and the Lord and your doctor. I believe those things do have a place. A lot of people abuse that, but they do have a place. But this world does try to offer peace mentally, but it's not lasting peace. But I'm glad tonight that through the Lord there is mental peace. Isaiah 26, notice in verse number 3. He says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I want you to see that there's three R's in this verse. And he's talking about peace of mind. The first R is relax. He says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. And I believe that this verse is telling us that we can relax in Jesus. Now, the words keep him
It means to guard or garrison about. And the words perfect peace means complete peace, complete tranquility. And so he says, thou will guard him, or thou will keep him in complete tranquility. Thou will keep him, thou will guard him in perfect peace. And so tonight we can relax, because this verse is to us. This verse is to us. God can keep us in perfect peace. He can keep us in a place where we can go about our day, and we can do what we need to do, and not feel like it's the end of the world, although it really is coming to be the end of the world. So we can relax tonight. That will keep him in perfect peace. He'll guard our minds and hearts if we just let him. But there's another R, and that is relocate. So we can relax, but then there needs to be a relocation. He says, whose mind is stayed on thee? Whose mind is stayed on thee? Where is our minds at tonight? That's the question. And our minds can be anywhere but where we're at. And it can happen at any time. You know, we can be here in person, but not be here mentally. Where's our minds at tonight? And so he says that, he tells us here, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The word stayed here, it means to prop up. It means to lean upon. And so he's telling us that we need to have our minds leaned upon the Lord, to have our minds propped up upon Jesus. I mean, we know he'll keep us in perfect peace. It's a matter of relocating our thoughts. It's easy to think about how this need's going to be met, how that need's going to be met. And it's real easy to get all wrapped up in how things look, the appearance of things. And sometimes the appearance of things can bring fear to our hearts if we're not careful. And we can try to figure out, well, how's it going to work out? How's this going to happen? How is that going to happen? And before we know it, we're not at a place of peace. We're at a place of stress, a place of anxiety, a place of fear. And so he tells us to relax and relocate our thoughts, whose mind is stayed on thee, whose mind is leaned upon the Lord. And it's hard to lean upon the Lord sometimes. We know that that's the way to do it. We know that it works. But you see, I think that in life, the devil gets more crafty. And I think that our flesh learns things about life. And sometimes we get to the place where we feel like, well, if the devil isn't causing us havoc, then our flesh has learned how to deal with some things. And I think that we lean upon the arm of the flesh, and I think that, you know, we lean upon experience, and experience is good to have when you're facing life problems. But you see, when we try to accomplish things in our own ability, and we try to figure things out, sometimes it takes us down a wormhole, or we chase rabbits, and the thing, those situations don't work out like we thought, and this didn't come through like we thought, and we thought we knew how to handle it. And so everything becomes to get unraveled. And the whole time he tells us to keep our minds stayed on him, to lean on him. And that's hard to do at times. So we see we're to relocate our thoughts. But then there's another R in this verse, and that is the word rely, I like to use. He says, because he trusteth in thee, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed or leaned upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. The word trusteth means to place confidence in. And so we're to place our confidence in the total reliability of Jesus. And so we're to rely on him. And God brings mental peace. Do you need mental rest tonight? Those watching on Facebook, do you need mental rest tonight? There's times where I need mental rest. And just everything going every which way and all these loose ends. And I finally get to a place where I'm like, Lord, I've tried on my own to work this out, and I'm just in a knot. Have you ever been in a mental knot? A spiritual knot? A mental knot? A place where you ever tried to undo one of those knots that are real tight? I remember growing up, I get a lot of knots in my shoestrings. And some of them knots are so little and so tight, I just try to work that knot out. But before I don't even get the knot worked out, my fingers are hurting and, you know, just all kinds of annoyances. And it just seems like the more I try, the tighter that knot gets. Some of us tonight may have come into the house of God with a really tight knot mentally. We've tried to work it out. We've tried to make sense out of it. And really, sometimes when we let go, it's almost like we are abandoning our care to try to work it out. I don't know if that makes sense or not. Sometimes in life, when we have to let it go, we need to let it go and trust the Lord. Sometimes we don't because we feel like it's a self-abandonment to the very care of ourselves. Does that make any kind of sense? I care so much about this person. I want this person to benefit. I want them to get better. I care. And if I stop, and if I just give it to the Lord, it's almost like I don't care. You see, sometimes there's a struggle there. And it's not that we don't care when we give something totally to the Lord. It's just that we can't get the knot out. It's tight. It's so tight. It's so little. And I think tonight that's what we need to do. If you've come in with this tight knot mentally, the Lord wants you tonight to cast your care upon Him. You've tried. You go to sleep with it. You wake up with it. And it's still there. The only way to unloosen the knot is by trusting in Him. Placing your confidence in the total reliability of another, which is the Lord. So that leads me to this question. Has God ever failed anybody in this room? No. God has not failed me. Now, there may be times where I don't agree with what the Lord's doing. But that doesn't mean that He's failed me. It just means that I'm not agreeing with all the death that's taking place in our world and the innocent dying and the young dying early. I think about Johnny Ivey. I don't even think he was 50 years old yet. Ate up with cancer. Pastor at Welcome Hill. You just reach a point where you're like, Lord, it seems like to me that he would benefit more being here than not being here. And I'm not mad at God. I'm nothing like that. It's just sometimes you just don't agree with what He's doing. It's not that you're being disobedient, but you gotta just trust Him. He hasn't failed one of us yet, and although we may disagree with what He's allowed to happen, He is still one worthy of being trusted tonight. That's what I'm trying to say. So we see that tonight that there's mental peace that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. We are trusting the Lord with whatever happens in this life, whether we agree with it or not. He knows what's best. There's a third kind of peace that God gives. There's the positional peace, the mental peace, but then there's directional peace as well. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians 3. And directional is a word. It's actually a word. I looked it up and it's used in a sentence and everything. directional piece. Colossians 3, look at verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. He tells us to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. What's the word rule mean? Dominate. Run the show. But I like this word, especially at this time of year. It means to umpire or to be an umpire. Do we have anybody that watches the Braves in here besides me? I'm telling you right now, they lost a star player this year. Okay? And everybody thought that they're going to fall down to last place. They have done better by losing that star player than when he was here. He's on the injured list. Acuna, Ronald Acuna Jr. They got three or four new players. I'm going to tell you what, tonight they are 2.5 games in first place. And they keep it up, then we're going to get us a division title, maybe make it to the World Series. But all these games have umpires. And, you know, the batter is there. The batter is batting and umpires. Ball. Pitcher throws the ball in. Strike. Throws the ball in. Ball. Strike. And I love it when they do a strike three. Some of them umpires go, strike three. Man, that's just, it's like a two and two punch or something. They're umpiring, they're calling the shots. And in like manner is how we're supposed to deal with the matters of the heart and where God may have us go and what God may have us do. Anything dealing with the heart, the Bible says, let the peace of God umpire in your hearts. Let Him direct your steps by His peace. And if there's something that you're praying about and somewhere you need to go potentially, allow God's peace to umpire, to rule in your heart. If you have a question about something, you know the phrase, well, do you have peace about it? Do you have peace about it? Well, not really. Well, it's... The Bible says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. So if you don't have peace about it, it's not God's will. In order to really know if you're to do something, it really takes devotion and prayer and studying the Bible and getting close to the Lord to know. So He says, let the peace of God umpire in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So we see tonight in making decisions, we must make sure that the peace of God is in charge in our hearts. And so there's directional peace here. Again, there's the mental peace we shared. There's the positional peace. There's all kinds of peace when it comes to the Lord. But tonight He says that He gives this kind of peace, not as the world gives. The world gives that external peace, but He gives that internal peace. Kind of wrapping up short tonight, but that's the message. Father, we love You, we thank You, we praise You for who You are, for the things that You do, Lord. We feel tonight that someone needed to hear, be reminded about Your peace again. Lord, we know positionally we're at peace because Jesus paid the price. And Lord, mentally, we're so thankful that we can trust You so we can have mental clarity, Lord, to go about our day. And we're thankful for that directional peace, God, that if we ask You about thus and such, God, You have a way of directing us through Your peace, through Your peace. And Father, tonight I pray if there's someone struggling, let them find that peace. Let them be at peace with themselves, Lord. And whatever that may entail, let them be at peace. We love You, we thank You, and we praise You for for our meeting together tonight. Keep us safe and bring us back safely on Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anybody have anything they want to mention before we close? All right. I'm sure everybody could give a word of testimony about God's peace in your life. And I know we certainly could as well. Thank you for sharing that. Anything else before we close? All right. Well, remember this coming up Sunday is Youth Sunday. And everyone be safe. Have a great rest of your evening.